Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson. I am all in podcast, 111 Productions, 111 Media, 111 Podcast. iHeartRadio, iHeartPodcast, iHeartMedia, Pop Culture Season 7, Episode 1, The Long Morrow, joined by my intrepid crew, Tara Danielle and Amy. I can't see you. Where are you, Amy? Are you there?
It's because we have notes up and you can't
we
see me, but
notes
I'm
up and
totally here.
I always like to see you.
I know, but I'm definitely here. And I actually am pretty stoked to talk about the Twilight Zone episode.
So go right ahead.
Well, so this, The Long Morrow, I kept saying Morrow, is in reference to a Twilight Zone episode of the same name, The Long Morrow. And it's the symbolism of Rory's rocket. And sometimes this does happen to me in pop culture, but it really made me want to go watch this Twilight Zone episode. I haven't done it yet, but I will. It's Logan's favorite episode of the Twilight Zone. And in this episode, an astronaut falls in love on the eve of a 40-year-long space voyage. The story focuses on how he and his lover confront the problem that his 40 years in suspended animation will cause a age range between them. So I didn't fully get it, but it reminded me a bit of that Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt movie where they're supposed to be in suspended animation and then they wake up. I think it was called Passenger. So I am going to go watch this Twilight Zone episode. But The Twilight Zone is a science fiction horror anthology series created by Rod Serling, which ran for 5 seasons from 1959 to 1964. William Shatner, Robert Redford, Leonard Nimoy all made appearances. And it's come back, like, multiple times. Forrest Whitaker had a version. I think there was another version recently with Peele, maybe? I
think Peele.
Yeah, Jordan Peele.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and it's all based off this creation of Rod Serling.
Okay.
But it's freaky. I only like to watch it during the day because sometimes if I watch it too late at night, I get kind of like freaked out.
Somehow I can't see Robert Redford as a
it's very, you know, the music. What, how's just, the theme song go?
You just stepped all over my joke. I just did a funny joke. Why?
Oh, wait. You can't picture Shatner as what?
I just did a funny joke.
Give it again.
Well, it's not going to work now.
Yeah, it will. It'll work better.
Nah, it's ruined. You ruined it.
All right, I couldn't hear. Sometimes like everybody gets so mad because I interrupt. It's just because I can't hear sometimes because of the way that technology is. It's not an excuse, but just like, leave me alone. It's hard. This is hard. Like, people don't understand. Like, this is actually kind of hard what we do. It doesn't seem like it should be, but it is.
It is.
So hard. It's so hard. Your joke again, Scott. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss your joke, especially if it's a Shatner joke. Can you please do it again? Otherwise, no. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this episode.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going
to I'm going to have to mute my own feed. God, he's torturing me.
Taylor is installing a red light camera in the townhouse.
Taylor, you run a red light. It's time for your close-up. Mr. DeMille, these little wonders are taking over the globe. New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Singapore. Cecil B. DeMille was a filmmaker and actor. I didn't know he was an actor. Between 1914 and 1958, he made 70 features, both silent and sound. He is acknowledged as a founding father of American cinema and the most commercially successful producer-director in film history. Taylor is saying because of the camera, he's ready for a famous filmmaker to take his picture. Did you know in 1913, DeMille, along with other industry pioneers, founded the famous Players Lasky Corporation, which eventually evolved into Paramount Pictures. Interesting tidbits there.
Lorelai and Rory are attempting to play racquetball, but end up sitting on the ground to chat. Rory is trying to figure out what Logan's rocket gift is supposed to mean. And Rory says, it's just a model rocket. I mean, what could that mean? Who gives somebody a rocket? Lorelai says, I don't know. We'll figure it out though. Rocket, 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 rocket man, crocodile rock was good. Benny and the Jets, candle in the wind. Rory says, are you just naming Elton John songs? Elton John is a singer, pianist, and composer. Rocket Man, Crocodile Rock, Benny and the Jets, and Candle in the Wind were written in collaboration with Bernie Taupin. Their partnership is recognized as one of the most successful in musical history.
Which, if I get this right, Elton writes the music, the da na 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 na, and Bernie Bernie writes the lyrics. Yeah.
Yep. Did you know Elton John has 10 godchildren, including Sean Lennon, David and Victoria Beckham's sons, Brooklyn and Romeo, Elizabeth Hurley's son, Damian Hurley, and Seymour Stein's VP of Warner Brothers Records daughter? And I think there's Lady Gaga missing. Is his kid's godmother.
Oh, really?
I think so. I actually think you're right. Someone's his kid's godmother.
I think it's Lady Gaga, but... Yeah. I did see Elton John on his farewell tour at Dodger Stadium. Oh my God, that was one of the best concerts I've ever been to in my entire life.
Elton John is a stud. He's a total stud.
Such a stud.
Did they play a Funeral for a Friend?
You mean,
you know that song?
Candle in the Wind?
No. Funeral for a Friend. It's a rock
song.
Candle
in the Wind.
No, I
that's
don't know
the die, that's the Lady friend. Die song that he wrote for Lady.
Yeah,
Dimmies.
But he wrote it before and then redid it.
Funeral for a Friend is a different song.
What is everybody's favorite Elton John song before we move on?
Funeral for a Friend.
Never heard of it, but Danielle.
Benny!
I was about to say Benny and the Jets.
First of all, mine is definitely your song, but I cannot think of it without thinking of Phoebe being like,
you're right.
Hold me close, young Tony Danza.
Oh, yeah.
We are so lucky yours? To have been graced with Elton John
Seriously.
In our lifetime. Benny.
The movie's good, too. The movie Rocket Man, it's good. Tara, are you too young to know?
No, Elton I said John? Benny and the Jets.
Oh, I also, you know what is it's a really good one that nobody remembers. Sad Songs Say So Much. Sad Songs Say So Much. Do you guys know it? Mm-hmm. You need to listen to it. It's actually real good.
Mm.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Tonight. I thought we not allowed to do this.
It's okay. We're not supposed to sing songs, but we
should be illegal.
Delay from Zoom.
I know. Suddenly my Zoom started like saying things to me. I was like, sorry.
All right.
Don't go breaking my heart.
Oh, that's a good
one.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
So Rory barges into her home after seeing Kurt crash through Luke's diner. Lorelai is carrying laundry and a big pile of stuff in her living room. Rory says, okay, do you remember when you begged me to see Fast and the Furious with you? And I said no. And then you begged me to go see the Fast and the Furious 2 with you? And I said no. And then Fast and the Furious 3 Tokyo Drift came out. Lorelai says, cars, they drift.
They drift. First of all, who would think they'd still be making new Fast and Furious, but they sure are.
I know, right?
And I still miss Paul Walker. Like, Paul Walker.
I know. So the Fast and the Furious is a media franchise about street racing, heists, and family, starring Vin Diesel and Paul Walker up until his death. And the first film is based on the 1998 Vibe magazine article Racer X by Ken Lee. It began the original tetralogy. I don't even think I've ever heard that word.
What does that word mean?
I haven't either.
I don't know. The original tetralogy, like, of films.
I thought the word was trilogy.
Well,
so
trilogy is three.
Well, tetralogy is 10.
I think it's 10. There you go. Oh,
wow.
Oh, for the win. Thing. Here we go. I guess if I kept reading, I would know. Did you know that there's a total of 11 Fast and Furious movies? The franchise has brought in $7.47 billion at the worldwide box office.
Wow.
Yeah. Vin Diesel is not struggling. I don't know.
Living a good life.
Vin Diesel's like, this thing is a real fluke that turned into be a real cash cow.
All right, so same scene, Rory explaining what happened with Kirk and Luke at Luke's diner. Rory, and nobody was hurt, everything was fine, but the smash-up was unbelievable and went right into Luke's, and Kirk gets up and he gets out in the car. He says, he's like Evel Knievel style, like, I'm okay. By the way, Evel Knievel really never got up from a crash and said he was okay because he was getting rushed to the hospital all the time with 90,000 broken bones. Evel Knievel was a stunt performer, entertainer throughout his career. He attempted more than 75 ramp-to-ramp motorcycle jumps. His most famous stunt was an attempt to jump the fountains at Caesar's Palace, which resulted in severe injuries despite his own injuries. He was a proponent of motorcycle helmet safety and supported the mandatory helmet bill in the state of California. Did you know Evel Knievel chose his nickname after spending a night in jail in 1956 after being arrested for reckless driving in the same jail? That night was a man named William Knuffel, who had the nickname Awful Knuffel.
Wait, no!
This led to Knievel.
This is a fun fact.
Being referred to as Evel Knievel.
Now, is Evel Knievel like, and don't yell at me, please.
Nobody's yelling.
Danielle and Tara, does it mean anything to you, or is it like a real 70s thing, Evel Knievel?
That's a real 70s
thing. It's just, when I think of Evel Knievel, I think of just somebody like crashing into stuff.
So in the 70s, they did these, there was this program on every Saturday called ABC's Wide World of Sports. It was a big show.
Yep.
And Evel Knievel was a couple times a year. ABC's Wide World of Sports would cover Evel Knievel jumping over, like, all these buses or something.
Mary, like, jumped the Grand Canyon or something.
And he tried to jump the Grand Canyon in a rocket car. Okay, so this guy was hell-bent for leather. He was completely suicidal.
And is it like our generation's Jackass?
No.
But more legit.
No. This was a guy who was literally risking his life.
It wasn't like, yeah.
He crashed so hard that they would show slow motion reruns of the jump, his crash, and you could actually see his bones breaking in those reruns.
Oh my God.
They showed slow motion over and over. And here's the crash again. That? And there, I mean, this guy was.
And remember,
like,
Robbie Knievel, Evil's son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once in a while, he'd land a jump without getting hurt too bad, but I don't know how many times he landed clean. He was always crashing and breaking, and they'd helicopter him to the hospital. It was constant.
And I kind of had like he had sort of a whole getup. Like, I kind of remember stars he looked like on the Elvis. Helmet. There he dressed might have like been Elvis. A cape. I feel like he had a cape.
He dressed like Elvis with a helmet.
Iconic. Yeah. The '70s were really.
I mean,
a
the
great
guy.
Time.
You know, say what you want. He had some guts.
The '80s were real fire too.
Oh, he did have a cape. I'm sorry.
Yeah, a white cape with like blue stars. He was almost had a similar uniform to Wonder Woman.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing free samples. It's springtime, and that means allergies. Mine have been throwing me off, and I need something that works fast. That's where Astapro comes in. It's the first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter spray you can get. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Plus, it is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. So if you suffer from allergies like I do, get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Visit Astapro allergy.com. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Lorelai is sorting through Luke's stuff in the living room with Rory. This is Luke's. No, this is mine, but I wore it with Luke when we went to see Jarhead. I was trying to look kind of army, and something about that combination of the movie and the hot dogs at the Waterbury Cineplex made me sick in the parking lot, and Luke held my hair, and it was nice. Jarhead is a 2005 biographical war drama film. It's based on the 2003 memoir Jarhead by Anthony Swofford, chronicling his military service in the Marine Corps during the Persian Gulf War. The film stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Jamie Foxx.
And here's a side note.
Tell.
Renee Bell, who plays Lulu in Good War Girls, portrayed Jake Gyllenhaal's
great tidbit.
Deranged, institutionalized sister.
No.
In the beginning of Jarhead.
I never saw Jarhead, but immediately I knew Jake Gyllenhaal was in it. I did not recall that Jamie Foxx was in it, but I knew Jake Gyllenhaal. The term Jarheads first appeared as early as World War II and referred to Marines' appearance wearing their dress blue uniforms. The high collar on the uniform and the Marine's head popping out of the top resembled a mason jar. It is also a slang phrase used by sailors when referring to Marines. Interesting. Mm. Now, I still want to watch the Twilight Zone episode more than Jarheads, I'm just saying.
Rory holds up a pile of books Lorelai wanted Luke to read, but he didn't. Rory says, Cormac McCarthy, good call. In Cold Blood, he would have loved that. Lorelai says, well, he'll never know now. Cormac McCarthy was a writer and is widely regarded as one of the greatest American novelists. He wrote No Country for Old Men, which was later turned into an Oscar-winning film by the Coen brothers. Mm-hmm. In Cold Blood is a 1966 nonfiction novel written by Truman Capote.
If Javier Bardem in a bad haircut is knocking on your door, don't answer it.
It details the 1959 murders of four members of the the Clutter family in a small farming community of Holcomb, Kansas. It was then made into a film in 1967, starring Robert Blake, Scott Wilson, and James Forsythe. Mm-hmm. The film was nominated for 4 Oscars in 1968. And did you know?
Is Robert Blake the one that got into trouble?
Yes.
Wow. And John Forsythe is Charlie in Charlie's Angels, and he's Blake Carrington in Dynasty.
And Scott Wilson was in Walking Dead.
No way. He's the old guy. I love Scott Wilson. I think one of the babies is named after him in Walking Dead. I think, one of the babies is named after him. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I loved him in Walking Dead.
Well, did you know In Cold Blood took 6 years for Capote to research and write? His notes were over 8,000 pages long. It also took an incredible toll on Capote personally, so much so that he never published another book again.
You know, they made an indie film called Capote, a brilliant film. Interested in seeing how he researched that.
I'm so interested in Capote, but what I'm more interested in is letting people know.
All right, I'll shut up.
No, never. But you brought up Scott Wilson, and I'm so glad you did.
Yes.
The new Walking Dead, the one with Rick and Michonne, I think it's called like The Ones Who Live. Oh my God, 10 out of 10. It is so good.
Who's Rick and Michonne?
They're the main, Rick is the main character in Walking Dead, and Michonne becomes like a very
so he got a spinoff.
He got a spinoff. Daryl got a spinoff. Jeffrey Dean Morgan got a spinoff with Lauren Cohan. And then, Rick and Michonne have a spinoff. And all the spinoffs are great, but this one might be the best one. It is so shocking that I find myself watching it like alone, talking to the television. Like, it's so weird. Like, I'm fully like, no, that did not just happen. And they will kill you off like nobody's business. They do not care. Like, you'll just be dead.
And that's why the show ended, by the way, because they didn't care. killed off a lot of people. That
killed care. Off so many. But yeah, it is super good. Okay, anyway, I digress. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Who's
tune into the Walking Dead rewatch with Scott Patterson. Just kidding.
I'll go next.
Am I doing a Walking Dead? Am I? Is that a contract? I'll do it. You want me to?
Bunhead's way better.
All right. So Lorelai and Rory are talking about Logan, and the last time he and Rory took a break, and Rory is getting anxious. She says, "But it's hard on the phone, you know. I can't see him. I can't read his expression. How am I ever supposed to know what he's thinking or feeling? I mean, his eyes always give him away. Logan has very expressive eyes." Lorelai says, "I've noticed it's one of the things he and Bette Davis have in common." Bette Davis is an American actress of film, television, and theater. She was noted for her willingness to play unsympathetic, sardonic characters. For her intense style of acting, she is known for her role in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and All About Eve. Lorelai is referring
creepy to films. Those were the scariest films. Jeez, when I was a kid, we watched those, and it was just like, wow, this is frightening. Really crazy stuff. Sorry. Whatever Happened to Baby Jane is really creepy. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so Lorelai is referring to the song Bette Davis Eyes by Donna Weiss in 1964, but made popular by Kim Carnes in 1981. And did you know that Bette Davis missed out on her chance to play Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind? She refused to work with Errol Flynn, who the studios were pursuing for Rhett. And she had been quoted saying she was realistic about Errol's limited acting talent. And because of this, she was haunted by losing out on the role.
Nice move there, Betty. Yeah. Good
more important to that, I was today years old when I realized there was an earlier version of Bette Davis Eyes, the song. I had no idea. I just thought Kim Carnes wrote it. Whoa.
Well.
Wow. That's shocking.
Who's up? All right, Rory.
I think you do it. This is the last one. You do it.
I'm going to do it. Rory calls Logan on the first day at the office. Says she's He can see Piccadilly Circus from his window, Rory, so you can just see elephants and clowns walking past your building all day long. Must be nice, Logan. It's brilliant. Rory, brilliant. Oh, my God, you're turning British. Do you have a secretary named Moneypenny? Miss Moneypenny is a fictional character in the James Bond's novels and films. She's secretary to M, who is Bond's superior officer and head of the British Secret Intelligence Service. Did you know in Ian Fleming's first draft of Casino Royale, Moneypenny's name was originally Miss Petty Pettiball, which was taken from Kathleen Pettigrew, the personal assistant to MI6 director Stuart Menzies. Fleming changed it to be less obvious.
Wow. Great
and
stuff.
That, ladies and gentlemen, as they say, it's going to be a wrap on pop culture. Thanks, ladies. Tara, Danielle, Amy. Wonderful, rollicking.
Good stuff.
Time.
I'm nervous for next week, but good stuff.
No. Why? What's next week? What's so
I'm just nervous about every episode.
The season continues.
Well, everybody, bring your own trash bags because there's going to be a lot of garbage. Anyway,
that was a good one.
I was just trying to get everybody ready.
Suzanne will be back. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Suzanne will be back, so you don't have to listen to us anymore. She's just going to talk the whole time. We're just going to react.
What if we
that's
just
that's
take
the
her?
New format. Like, yeah, we're going to let her take her. Yeah, we're going to do it. You do it. She has no idea what she's negotiating for. Yeah. She's making such great progress. She didn't know it's our evil plan. So anyway, all the best, kids. Keep downloading. Keep sending the cards and letters, all those wonderful messages you send. And all the best.
All those
safe.
kind comments that I read. And then
don't read them anymore. Stop
I have,
reading.
That's my job. I have to read them. And I take it and I pay attention.
Amy?
And,
Amy,
I have to read it.
I'm going to look, guys, listen. Let's do an intervention here. Okay.
I have to read them.
Don't read them. Have somebody
it's
else.
It's my
read
full
them.
Job. And they get mad if we don't read them. And if they think we don't take their, you know, suggestions, which we do, we take all your suggestions.
Listen,
I can take it.
Listen, no. Nobody can take it. It causes depression. Nobody can take all that negativity. Don't do it. Don't read them. I'm telling you, I know you think it's your job. And I'll have somebody else read them, and then they can circle
the good ones.
Yeah. Don't do it. It's and mental health week begins right now.
Truth.
You're not reading them. Bye, kids.
Bye.
Forget, follow us on Instagram at @IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.